This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Granddaddy here on The Fan. No GP, but Toby is in. And I want caller 10 at 800-636-1067 right now. You'll win two tickets to see Rod Stewart one last time. Tour Saturday, July 19th at Meriwether Post Pavilion. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com/events. 800-636-1067. That's how you win those tickets. Got some Wizards tickets for you guys 1 hour from right meow at 5 p.m. We got some NFL to discuss. We got some Local 53 to discuss. But first, we're going to kick it around here. You heard Toby's update. Pitchers and catchers reported today. Let's talk some Nats, Darius. To do that, I got Toby Altizer, a couple of baseball guys sitting in a room talking baseball, Tobes. It's been a long time.
It's nice to talk about these guys. It was a little bit of an underwhelming offseason. I like some of the shrewd moves that they were able to make, but you would have liked to see them be a little bit more aggressive now that you've got James Wood and Dylan Cruz ready to go.
Roster questions for me. Who's in the starting rotation? Are they going six-man? I haven't heard anybody kind of talk about that, but there are guys like Mike Soroka, Shinosuke Agasawara. I'm still trying to get it right. Over from Japan, their first Asian signing in a long, maybe ever.
I think it was the first Japanese player ever
for them. So that's a big deal. But then you add in Trevor Williams, DJ Hurst, Mitchell Parker, Jake Irvin, Mackenzie Gore. It's a crowded rotation. You don't have superstars there, but who's a lock to you to be in their first five, and how are they going to shake it out?
I think Gore and Irvin are locks. I think Soroka's going to start the year there. I don't know that he sticks there long-term, but they signed him to be a starter, so I think he's a lock. I think it's kind of up in the air after that. I would like to see DJ Hurst kind of earn that spot. In the second half last year, he was their best starting pitcher. He's really, really good. I think if he was able to get a third pitch that's a little bit more effective to lefties, even though he's a lefty pitcher, he's got a little bit of reverse splits. I think if he can get another pitch, whether it's throwing that changeup to lefties a little bit more or adding a slider that slides a little bit more to lefties, I think he could be really impressive, and maybe he's your breakout star this year. But I think really the only locks are going to be Soroka, Irvin, and Gore going into it, at least.
So there are two players on, I'm just calling it on offense. It's not offense. They're position players, but you know what I mean. Two position players that I'm incredibly intrigued by this year, and I want your reactions to both. Number one, Keibert Ruiz. Last year was a disaster for him.
Big time.
And this is a guy that they signed to a very affordable deal, thinking that he would blossom into, not a star, but at least a plus catcher. That didn't happen last year. There's reasons for it. I'm willing to kind of wash it away for a guy that I think is only, 25 years old, maybe 26. I still think there's something there. The bat-to-ball is too good. I need a better approach than he's had in the past. But, again, just it didn't work for him last year. I'm fascinated with what he does. Second is C.J. Abrams. I mean, you look back to a year ago at this point, David Martinez was open about it. Mike Rizzo was open about it. They had a come-to-Jesus moment with Luis Garcia after they sent him down for being out of shape, and they said, in or out, dude, get your act together. Remember, Trey Lipscomb outplayed him thoroughly in spring training, and the thought was he'd break camp as the second baseman. They gave Garcia one last chance, and he thrived. A nice year. No one's talking all-star, superstar, anything like that, but a nice big leaguer guy that I've advocated for. Abrams is at a similar crossroads. Immaturity, whether it was boredom, whether it was this, something came too easy to him, I don't know, but didn't produce last year, especially in the second half. And then, of course, you know what happened, demoted after basically as the minor league season ended, basically sent away from the team for breaking some team rules. Those two guys, prognosis, outlook, your thoughts this year.
Yeah, I think Keibert Ruiz is interesting because he had that long layoff, remember, where he had the sickness, he dropped a lot of weight, and it seemed like he wasn't the same after that. It's not like he was tearing the cover off before, but it's disappointing that last year, going into the season, he's coming off a year in 2023 with 18 homers and 67 RBIs. You're like, okay, maybe he can take a step forward. He didn't do that last year. He didn't really take a step forward as a catcher, which, frankly, he's one of the worst catchers defensively in the league. And so if you're going to rely on his bat. You need the bat to show up. It didn't. So it's a big kind of make or break year for him. It worked for Luis Garcia last year, so maybe you can see that with Keibert Ruiz. To your point about CJ, you hope that the gambling stuff, whatever, is behind him. You hope that's all gone and you kind of get a little more professional approach. I need to see him be consistent. You look at his numbers in April and March last year, March and April last year, a 992 OPS, followed up in May by 519 OPS. In June, 1127 OPS, and then 572 in July. If you can get some of that consistency month to month where, okay, the peaks are awesome, but the valleys are far too long. If you can find ways to just get a little more of a steady line there, I think he can be the guy that you bargain for. But he showed you last year for periods, you know, that first month, he looked like an MVP candidate. So if he can play a little more consistent, be a little more professional, have some of that veteran leadership in there, I'm really intrigued to see what he can do this year.
Super quick one. Who plays the most games at third base? Amad Rosario, Jose Tena, Trey Lipscomb, Andres Chaparro, or someone not on the roster yet?
I like Tena.
Actually, I like him a little bit too.
I like Tana a lot.
I'm with you. Darius, NFL sounder, please. Our pal Mike Jones joins us to go around the NFL. The season is in the rearview mirror. We now enter the business of the offseason. Mike, the coaching carousel is over with, but now it seems the potential trade market is heating up. Is this one of those things where it's just some agitating and talk, or you actually think it's going to be, you know, one of those feeding frenzies where a lot of guys are on the move, be it Myles Garrett, Hendrickson, Deebo Samuel, maybe a sign and trade for T. Higgins, et cetera. Do you think there's going to be activity, or is it just banter?
I think that we'll see some answers. I think you'll see some teams that are very close and feel like they're a piece or two away. We've seen more trades over the years involving draft picks and, you know, meaningful players. I don't know if everybody is changing addresses. I think that the Browns would like to hold on to Myles Garrett, but if they get offered a whole lot for him, this is a good way to reset, which is what they badly need. And so I think we are going to see some guys changing addresses.
Quarterback's going to be really intriguing to see what happens this offseason, as it is every offseason. I want to ask about Aaron Rodgers in a second, but also Pittsburgh. What is Pittsburgh going to do? They're going to stick with Russell Wilson or Justin Fields? Are they maybe going to go after Aaron Rodgers? What do you see happening there?
I see them letting Russell Wilson walk and holding on to Justin Fields. He's younger. There's upside there. He didn't look bad. He, you know, they were winning. You know, I think what were they, four? They'd won four games. Maybe they're 4-2 with him as a starter. It's kind of foggy now. Feels like so long ago. But they had a winning record with him as their starter there. And I think having familiarity will help him continue to blossom. So I think that would be the way they'll go. I'm real curious. I don't know where Aaron Rodgers fits. I've heard Tennessee is a possibility, but I just don't know that he's a guy, you know, and Tennessee's not going to be in the middle of contention and be appealing to him, I wouldn't think. You know, is it the Raiders? I don't know. I feel like Russell Wilson is probably a better fit for them than Aaron Rodgers is. But, you know, Tom Brady's going to have a lot of input there, so I guess we'll see what happens regardless of what Pete Carroll wants.
Like, Houston was 10-7 this year. And that's not bad for a group that just 2 years ago was 3 in a million. The year before that, 3 in a million. I mean, they were awful before C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans and company arrived. But the expectations for them were through the roof. A year ago now, Bobby Sloak was up for head coaching jobs, didn't get any of them, but was still one of the darlings of the league. Now he's like a scribe for Mike McDaniels to run his offense, right? Just how far the mighty have fallen. The expectations were so huge for them, they didn't meet them. Give me kind of the autopsy now that we're removed from Houston's season. And the reason I ask about it, A, I'm curious, but B, I'm worried about Washington falling into the same trap.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've got to continue to address their needs. They didn't really do a lot to help their offensive line, and that came back and bit them. They spent money, you know, on Danielle Hunter, who, you know, went nicely with Will Anderson Jr. To help their defense. But they also gave up a lot to get Stephon Diggs, who, you know, He did well, but I don't know that he was really a franchise changer. And then he got hurt. And so now you go into this offseason, they still need help. C.J. Stroud was sacked 52 times, which was second only to Caleb Williams. You know, and then he was sacked another 11 times in two playoff games. So you've got to beef up the interior of your offensive line. And so that's also a lesson for Washington. Look, continue to build in front of and around your young quarterback, because, you know, now everybody's got game film on them. They're going to be pinning back their ears and coming after them. And so that's really what Houston's got to do. They've got to get help on their offensive line. They also need help at wide receiver, probably some depth at running back as well.
With Kellen Moore going to the Saints, the coach carousel's done. Which coaching hire was your favorite this offseason?
I guess Ben Johnson going to Chicago. I think that he'll be good for Caleb Williams. I think that they have talent on that team. They just needed an upgrade as far as creative minds to work with their young quarterback to help get the most out of him. And, you know, I think that Ben Johnson is a good fit. I felt like he was a better fit there than the Raiders, which, you know, people thought that he was going to go there. I didn't understand that. They don't have a quarterback to work with, so why would he want to go there? So I thought Chicago really was a good fit for him. And then, you know, I didn't like the way they handled the whole thing, but the Patriots getting Mike Vrabel was perfect for them. You know, they wanted to turn the page on the Bill Belichick era, but, you know, now they reach back into their past and they have a guy who's going to bring, you know, a similar culture. You know, he's not Bill Belichick, but what he gets out of his players, what he demands out of them, the Patriot way is very similar to that. And so then they bring back Josh McDaniel because he just can't, you know, stay away from that team. And so he'll be good for Drake May. So I feel like the Patriots, they obviously have a lot of talent deficiencies, but coaching-wise, they will be significantly upgraded.
Mike, thank you as always, buddy. Really appreciate it.
All right, see you guys.
Yeah, man. Talk soon. Darius, hit that local 53 sounder, please. And to talk about them, our buddy Mitch Tischler joins us. He's an authority on the subject, I tell you. Mitch, how should they approach this offseason, talking Washington? Should they be aggressive because the window is now? Should they kind of do it the, we're not changing our schedule. Let's be judicious and kind of those same sort of under-the-radar maybe type signings. Go big or, I guess, go small?
I think this team ultimately is going to be more judicious. I mean, you can only look up the road at the Eagles in the way that that franchise is built. And listen, it pains me to say nice things about anything Philly, but let's be honest, they did a really good job of implementing exactly what Adam Peters talks about, which is building through the draft and supplementing through free agency. You look at their defensive line, all four of their starting four were original draft picks and on rookie deals. They have six players on defense that start and play big time minutes who were on rookie deals, and they were able to go out and get Zach Bond off the trash heap of New Orleans and turn him into, you know, a great middle linebacker based on how good, you know, that defensive line is. And so I think when you look at Washington, while they do have a ton of money to spend in free agency, you also have to remember that they have 27 free agents from their final 53 this season. And so as much money as they spent, they have to spend, they got a lot of holes to fill. And so they're going to spend a lot of money there. You're probably, after they re-sign, get to a full 53, they only have about 20, 25 mil to spend on, you know, outside the building free agents. And I'm not saying they're going to re-sign everyone that's available, but to spend all of that money in one chunk on a guy like T. Higgins, I don't think is particularly prudent. If it's a guy like Myles Garrett, he's a kind of once-in-a-lifetime, one-of-a-kind player, and he's a guy that I would actively trade for and, you know, figure out the contract situation with him and make him happy. But other than that, I think we're going to see a pretty similar offseason to last year with not a ton of huge splashy moves, ultimately because Adam Peters and Dan Quinn aren't trying to push all in to win next year. They're trying to keep this team competitive and in that Super Bowl window for the next 5, 6, 7 years to come.
Mitch, it feels like everyone's going to say that they want to upgrade the offensive line, but realistically, what positions are you looking to upgrade on that offensive line? And then looking at right guard with Sam Cosmi, what's kind of the timeline to expect him back next season?
Yeah, I mean, the Cosmi injury is going to be the interesting one because he's probably going to miss, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks at minimum, and who knows what that recovery looks like if maybe there's a couple more years. Listen, you're not going out and finding a stud left tackle in free agency. Those guys don't just become available. And so I think you can look a lot at what they did this offseason, bringing in Alec Reddy, bringing in a guy like Dieter, you know, making some of, you know, drafting Brandon Coleman. I just want more competition along the offensive line. I don't think they need to go out and spend top dollar to get one of the top, you know, tackles on the board. I think it's too early to say that Brandon Coleman isn't the guy. And quite frankly, I want to give him a little more time to develop and see what he can turn into. Andrew Wiley is going to be an interesting situation. He has no more guaranteed money. Do they kind of keep him on board? Is that third swing tackle. But in the meantime, before Kazi comes back, do they try him on the inside at guard there? There are a lot of questions. But I think at the end of the day, you know, Jaden Daniels helps hide a lot of holes on an offensive line, and he did that this season. And I expect that they're going to bring in more competition, more depth. Most of that, I think, is going to come through the draft, though. I don't know that you're going to see a ton of signings in free agency on that offensive line. And you know, I think that's not the worst approach.
Mitch, quick one here. Kind of to your point, you referenced this indirectly, but I want to hammer down on it. So to me, there are premium positions. And the reason I think of them as premium is, to your point, there just aren't left tackles available in free agency. Last year, it was Tyron Smith at age, you know, my age, basically, signing a one-year deal for punter money. Okay, you can't just go upgrade at left tackle. Similar to wide receiver. If somebody's available via free agency, it means there's usually a wrinkle or kind of something's going on. That's why T. Higgins is going to get paid, you know, monopoly money at this point, because he's the best of a small bunch, right? So to me, that's why I'm all in on the idea of one of those guys being my first round pick, and I can find maybe the Dante Fowler pass rusher. I can find a couple of the other positions. The free agency market tells you what positions are most valuable, and there's a reason those guys are never available. Long way of saying, if they went tackle or wideout with their first-round pick, your thought would be?
I'd be happy either way. I think kind of what you said is where I expect this thing to go. I think a lot of the upgrades on defense are going to be free agency signing, you know, veterans, and I think a lot of the upgrades on offense are going to come through young players. And I think if you're able to build an offense similar to what the Eagles have on defense, where you have half of the team on rookie deals, you're going to be able to build up that defense with some premium talent. And that's where I'm looking, because, you know, rolling this thing back, if Dante Fowler, who's going to get, you know, more money than probably Washington can afford this offseason, considering he had double-digit sacks, if you're rolling this thing back with Cleveland Farrell and Dorrance Armstrong as your main two defensive ends, I think you're building it wrong. So I expect, kind of like you said, I want them to try and make a splash, particularly at defensive end, at edge rusher, and ultimately supplement a lot of the offense through the draft with a couple kind of veteran depth guys that get brought in.
Mitch, thank you as always, buddy. Talk soon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
There he goes. That is Mitch Tischler. And that right there, that's how we built Way Blitz. 5 o'clock, Mark Zuckerman joins the show. We've got a good old-fashioned baseball segment coming at you. A little spring training, pitchers and catchers reported today. We got a couple former Nets. Actually, one really is in the news, but it's kind of give us a nice little look in the Wayback Machine at 4:45. But next, I want to do this. Some shoveling went down at the Hooray household, all right? Old Fannie Mouye / Randy Douye, a.k.a. Danilo Dananari, shoveled his tuchus off today. I had some help. I'll tell you all about that. We have a question for you, the audience. I'll explain all of that in 5 minutes here on The Fan. Oh, I get it. Yeah, that's a good bit, Dares. Yeah. Grant Danny here on The Fan. Toby's in for GP. I'm warning all of you guys, you're not going to care about this next thing I'm about to say at all. Like, you're not interested. Ryan's not going to be interested. Dares, you're not going to be interested. Toby already wasn't interested. It's on my mind, and I can't stop it. I've got this snow thing I'm going to do in a second. My boys from GW, baseball season gets underway this weekend. Again, no one's going to care about this. Good luck to them. They're heading out west. They're coming from playing in a gym, practicing inside. Mm-hmm. It's just impossible to compete in an early part of the season. They're going to play USC, okay? The fact that USC isn't a buzzsaw every year is patently absurd. Like, they're playing the University of Southern California. I bet you the weather's good. It's where Mark McGwire went. It's where Randy Johnson went. Like, just a list of who's who. It's at one of the most beautiful campuses in the world, one of the most beautiful places possible. If you're interested in this sort of thing, I have no idea. I mean, I've heard people might be. You might see some attractive folks there on campus.
Really?
Yes.
At USC?
Yes, Toby. Yes. How they aren't unbelievable is ridiculous. They should always be in the top four in America. Again, I told you guys you weren't going to care about this. It's, you know, it's your usual cast of characters, SEC schools, couple ACC. UVA is going to be nasty this year.
Don't their rivals have a good program? UCLA? Isn't it decent?
They weren't at various points. I don't know if they're nasty now. But the Pac-12 is now the Pac-1. I don't know who's there. I don't know what everything is. It's all dumb. But, like, if I'm USC and I'm lower in the rankings than Troy, what are you doing? The recruiting pitch should be like, come on. Like, that should be the entire list of the grid. Hello? Hey, it's Coach whatever my name is from USC. Come on. Right? You coming? What are we doing? That's all I have for you. Okay.
How high is college basketball, I'm sure. How high is college baseball on your list of sports things?
And I played forever ago, and so in that sense, I care about GW and the program, and my old coach is now the head coach of Wake Forest. They were an out or two away from winning the whole thing a couple years ago. So it's like but it's like not like night in, night out. I can sit there and grind out NC State at Oregon. You know, like I don't have the wherewithal to do it, and there's too much else that goes on. But I love the College World Series. For anybody that's a sports fan, especially a baseball fan, make that trip to Omaha at least once. I'm telling you, it is really, really cool. It's a great event. Everybody, you at first think you're being pranked. They're so nice. Everybody is so friendly and so kind. And the way you can do it is, you get like a multi-day or game pass. So even if you're not a fan of, say, I don't know, whatever team that makes it, like you don't care about any of the teams, but you go and you just want to watch some highly competitive baseball with a lot of energy because everything's do or die. It's not like, you know, 162. It's like you could be out of there in an hour. Basically, you know, you get one guy has a bad start. Next thing you know, you're in the loser's bracket and you're pwned, right? But it's such a cool event. It's so good. It's just for the love of it because, I mean, until recently, these guys weren't getting paid, and it was just like everyone else is out of school. All their peers and all their buddies, they're missing graduations. They're all on to summer. They're at the beach. They're doing internships. They're hanging out. These guys are, you know, just grinding out game after game after game, having gone through hell and back just to get there. The energy is incredible. It's awesome. It's a great event for sports fans. But you can kind of go, and it's done for cheap, and you can then take a shuttle. Like some people have done this. I've never done this. But you could take a shuttle bus to Council Bluffs, Iowa, where it was legal to sit there and gamble out hands on blackjack, and you could come back and win, and everyone would be really impressed with you at the hotel. I'm just saying that's something you could do. Where was I? Oh, yes. Okay, so here's the story. And again, USC should be so nasty. All the time, that's the end. So there was a lot of shoveling done at the old Rouillet house, okay? I'm dreading doing it. I've already done it a couple different times because of the stupid snow. The way our house is, we love it. We're grateful. We love being there. The neighborhood's incredible. But you got multiple walkways, right? There's front steps, which you have to. You got to take care of those. Correct. Just for safety for everyone from mailman to neighbors to whomever, if you walk out there yourself. And then kind of a back pathway where we use to get to our garage, okay? Or anywhere in the backyard. So that's essential too. Okay, it's just you have to do it. There's no way around that. Then just the layout of the house, there's a long driveway that, I'm not kidding you, is probably like 65 or 70 yards, which again, I'm not doing a flex. I'm not doing an Eric Bickle. I don't have a thing at home where I can hit a golf ball. And then
you don't have a simulator?
I have no simulators. Mm. I do have a sport card, though, where you can play some pickleball. Anyway, the point is, I'm not doing a flex. I'm just saying it's the layout of the house. It's there's a separate detached garage, which is one of the main reasons we end up loving the house. So the shoveling is a lot to deal with. And I was dreading it. I didn't want to do it, but you have to. There's no choice. I got to come to work today, right? We don't get canceled. So yesterday, we did the show at home because there'd be no way to get home. Today, it's like, okay, the roads are clear. Like, let's go, Skippy. So I get out there and shovel. And I asked my 11-year-old, please come help me. Please, please, please. And he made the sound that you would make in the middle of getting your teeth pulled without any a numbing agent. Mm-hmm. Like, it sounded like I had just invaded his country. You know what I mean? Like, he was so upset about it. So I'm in the middle of doing it. I'm gassed. I've already popped my hamstring. I'm miserable. I texted my wife inside I don't want her to help at all. She's got plenty to do. We got a newborn. She is eyeball deep in it. So I said, hey, if you want to try to see if you can get him to come out and help me, that would be awesome. And lo and behold, a couple minutes later, in his puffy coat, he came strutting out there going, what do you want me to do? Now, there have been more helpful people in the history of mankind, I will say. But he eventually, like, got on board. So what I had him do is I got the big stuff with the shovel. We got a squeegee. Okay. Like, but via like a push broom style squeegee, but not with bristles. It's like that, like the same technology as a windshield wiper.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? So I'm going, I got the big stuff, but inevitably when you're pushing to the side, some of that snow is going to kind of come off, and there are these little sort of extra lines and a little bit of slush that's going to turn to ice when it freezes again tonight. And we need to be able to get out of here in and out safely. We don't want ice. Okay. We don't have, there's not enough that salt stuff or that fake, you know, whatever salt technology. To de-ice this whole driveway, it's half a whole bag gets you half of it, right? Because it's so much. Again, it's another driveway flex, and it's inevitable. So can you push these off the side just to make a pathway for the car? And he did it. And he was out there once he got started, didn't complain, and he did it. And I went inside, actually, we had like a little Danny Tanner moment. I was like, that meant so much to me that you came out and did that.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to. But it was really exciting that you're willing to help and willing to pitch in. Like, that's grown-up stuff. And that was very mature, and I was really, really thrilled with it. And I told him so. So here's the question. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. I think my wife kind of looked at me and it's like, that's what he should be doing. But to me, I was like, I'm ever so grateful that you'd assist your father out there. I'm just struggling and trying to provide for the family.
Just your lowly old man, just helping him out.
Just a humble old man. Thank you for your help. Your assistance is much appreciated. Bye-bye now. Here's a special treat. But she was like, yeah, that's what he should be doing. So I'm asking, what age should they be doing it? I'm going to do it as long as I can do it. To me, it's like, okay, I'm the dad. I can't fix anything. I can't build anything. I can't really help. There are a handful of areas that I can be productive, Tubbs. If you got something fairly heavy that needs picking up and moving to the next place, I'll do that. Trash? I got it. I'll take it out. Recycling? Sure. Take the trash cans to the street? Yes. On it. Very limited amounts of skills. I can help with that. I will help. I will do the shoveling. What age is it appropriate to expect him to do it?
I think you're about right. Right? 11, 12, somewhere around there. I think that's about right. Maybe not solely doing it himself, right? But coming out and helping and mm-hmm. doing some different things. Now, personally, I don't know this. I don't have kids of my own. When I grew up kind of out in the sticks, and we had a giant hill, and it did us no good to shovel. We had to be plowed out. Mm. So I personally have not really had to deal with shoveling. I did a little bit. I lived in Wisconsin. As you can imagine, you have to shovel from time to time in Wisconsin, but I was much older by then. So that was not really a thing. But I would think around that age, right, approaching being a teenager, somewhere around that time, that you can, hey, get out here and help, and you can learn the ropes. Because when you get to an age where you're 13, 14, 15, dad's going to be sitting on the couch and maybe helping you out occasionally, but you're going to be doing it. So I think about that age, probably about right.
Rhino, what age? Now, I know you've got labor laws and different policies to worry about, and I know you like it's all fair and it's equity, and you've got all the right words and corporate buzz terms. But hypothetically, if you could put your regular citizen hat on again, if you remember what it was like just to be one of us, what age is appropriate?
It's got to be 10 years old.
10?
I think when you hit like 9 to 10 years old, that is definitely very appropriate. But let me ask you this real quick, Dan.
Sure, of course, yes.
I loved shoveling snow when I was a kid. Like, I just wanted to be out in the snow. Well, maybe I'm the weird one then?
No.
But like, I loved it.
I did
too.
Is
this a generational thing where kids just don't like it?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Now, I heard this morning that I was awakened by kids frolicking in the snow down the street. I'm not complaining. I'm saying that they were so excited about it because, oh my God, snow day. Yes. That's how I was. I think that's how a lot of my buddies were, but I think some were kind of going, I'd rather, because there's so many gaming options. There's so much, I didn't have any iPads or anything like that. They have those things, and it's like, I could get all dressed up like the kid from A Christmas Story and be miserable, or I could just sit here and grind out some video games. To me, I was like, this snow day, I'm going to fit in every ounce of snow time. I'm not even going inside for bathroom breaks. You know what I mean? The snow will change colors.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? So you say 10.
10. I think 10's a great age.
800-636-1067. What age is appropriate to expect it? Because I did not expect it. I was hoping for it. There will be a time, though, where I'm going, oh, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Earn your keep around here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But at this point, I was overjoyed that he did it as an 11-year-old. Give me your thoughts. 800-636-1067. Got some former Nats updates I want to pass along to you guys. And speaking of the Nats, Mark Zuckerman is going to join us at 5 to go through what to expect here from spring training. Pitchers and catchers report today down there in West Palm, which is the best Palm, FYI. But next, what age should I be expecting my kids to help me out with the snow? Grant and Danny here on The Fan. So I didn't totally plan on doing two segments on this, but the first half of the last segment was me ranting that a warm weather baseball team in California should always be awesome for college. So I know that's going to be tough for Ryan to like title the YouTube video.
Yeah.
Danny talks about USC baseball. Sorry, Ryan. But here's what happened. My eldest boy, he helped me shovel today, and I was overjoyed about it. I was thrilled. But a couple people have said, like, dude, that's what he should be doing. And you're probably right, but I was really pleased that happened. So my question is, at 800-636-1067, at what age do you go, yeah, you should be doing that? Not that you're grateful, but it's like, yeah, that should be the expectation. Let's start here. David in Bethesda. David, what age is appropriate to say, kid, go shovel?
From Bethesda!
For me, I think you got to start them as early as possible so that that third, fourth grade, 10, 11-year-old, mm-hmm. they got to be out there doing something, right? You're winning off the field. You're winning in the snow.
I think that is correct, sir. Sean at Falls Church, what's the right age to say, come on, dude, shovel?
So, thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. For me, I think I'm going to go earlier, but I'm not going to expect them to do the driveway. I'm going to go, hey, the walkway, from the driveway to the door, that's your job. I'm actually going like 8. 7,
Sean,
if you're feeling adventurous.
So here's my theory on that. And this is something a lot of people might subscribe to, where you'd go, I don't expect them to do a great job at 7, 8 years old, right? They can't do the job of a grown man, but the act of doing it, the habit of doing it, may be more important.
Yeah, I think so. I think getting out there, understanding what you're doing, helping out, and then eventually you're going to turn over the responsibility. But getting them started a little bit earlier helps them maybe appreciate it, like Ryan mm-hmm. said. And maybe they learn, like, I don't mind this. It's kind of fun being out here in the snow.
Look, I in future, Ryan, if you're okay with this, I may use you as an example, right? Where I'll tell one of my sons, if you would like to climb the corporate ladder one day, this is what Ryan did when he was your age.
Yeah, you can, I can say that. Yeah.
Your permission?
They love Uncle Ryan.
Do we need, they do. They get size for Uncle Ryan. Do we need any kind of like corporate permission, like any sort of like notarized thing? Or are we good?
Just no, to say no, that. I'll run it through HR, but they should be okay.
I appreciate that. Rick in Germantown, what's the right age for that?
I would say 12, but I would tell you what your wife told him to come out and help you while you couldn't get him to come out.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I'm either going to bake you cookies or make you your favorite dish.
Something to that effect. Who knows? Maybe he got bribed. Maybe it was Robux or something like that, you know? But either way, like, if you got to do a carrot or a stick, as long as it gets done, that's fine by me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, especially when you're starting, right? You got to do something.
Uh-huh.
But eventually, you're no longer getting cookies or snacks. Like, it's,
yeah. Come
it's
on,
your
dude.
Chore now.
You're supposed to. But he really did with the squeegee. I don't know how to describe it. I'm probably not saying the right thing. Do you guys know what I'm talking about with
you're
the squeegee?
Right. Squeegee.
So there's that push broom where if you've got standing water, you could push it off.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that. It's like this windshield wiper thing that's so good for this. Now, you can't shovel with it, but you can get some slush, and you can move it off pretty well. Dustin in D.C. Dustin the Wind. What's up, man?
What's going on, hey, Danny? What's up, Toby? Give me some time real quick, because I would say when I was young, I started around 8 years old. Mm-hmm. My youngest brother was 2 years younger than me, so about 6 years old. And if we had a group of us, I would say, let's say with my youngest brother, about 6 to 12,
mm-hmm.
and we were going to go around the neighborhood shoveling the snow at that age. And you know how we got those shovels? We had to shovel at home first.
Yep.
So we were shoveling at home. In order to get those shovels to go out to the neighborhood, we had to take care of home first. And so definitely around 8 years old, I agree with Sean, start with the driveway, maybe the patio or the front porch, and then graduate to the driveway. And it even extends. I'm going to tell you, Danny, it even extends as we get older into, and when your son gets into adulthood, he should be a, like my youngest brother did. I didn't get into it first. My youngest brother ended up buying my father a snow blower. So then it get, you know, so that way it made it easier because we're not at home now. So that way, without hurting his back or, you know, getting real exhausted or whatever, just blow the snow away. So it's going to even extend as he gets older. You just look for a present coming with the snow blower to make it easier when he's not at home.
Dustin, I like the cut of your jib. I think everything you said is correct. Because, and my wife's already done this to me once, not so subtly, sent me a link to a Home Depot, I speak for a living. Sent me a Home Depot link.
Mm-hmm.
She sent me it was hypertext, a link to a web page, and I clicked on it. No, she sent me a link to one of those standing shovels, like a no bend. You push it like a roller cart.
Sure.
And the whole point is it's gonna earth move a little bit. Basically, like, hey, you old bitch, you can't move. You can't bend down, old man.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to hear you complain. So, like, look at this. So Dustin's on to something, because I'm going to think I can do it. Then I'm going to throw my back out, or then another hamstring's going to pop, one of the other ones I got left. And that's going to happen in the not-too-distant future. Let's go to Will in Woodbridge. What's up, Will?
Yeah, you got it. You guys, eight is the perfect age. You got to get them out there, start mentoring them, little apprenticeship program. They got the sidewalks. You got the driveway. Give them a little money, show them how to earn something. And you know, it doesn't snow every year, so you got to take advantage.
Well, that's true. Thank you, buddy. The little money thing is interesting. My kids aren't motivated by that because they know they'll get it. Does that make any sense?
People are into like V-Bucks and all that. not real money anymore, but they love those things.
Like, wait, I can use money to buy Robux, or I can use money to buy V-Bucks from stupid Fortnite? Colin, Fort Washington, what's the right age?
Hey, Danny, I think 10 is the right age. My father turned it into a kind of like an Olympic thing. He made it a competition between me and my brothers. He moved from the driveway to the car to the steps.
Like, whoever could do it fastest would win?
Whoever could do it the fastest would win, Danny.
I love that.
I mean, that's a good way. Competition's always a good motivator.
It's good for me. But I'm telling you, my guys, like, when I'm like, okay, let's see if we can do 5 in a row or just something, whatever we're doing, you would think, I'm like, listen, reach in to your own stomach and grab your spleen and hold it up. You know what I mean? Like, they treat anything like that. Like, the big pouting. Let's go to Aaron in Suitland. Aaron, what's the right age to get kids to shovel?
Man, look, you kind of got to read the room with your kids, because I got one kid. Like I was telling the producer, I could tell him I'm going to change a battery on a spaceship, and he's right there on my heels. And I could tell my other son, hey, there's a little water on the car, let's just wipe it off. And he'll look at me like, I'm not doing that. So, you know, it's kind of one of them things where it's relative. You know what your kid can do,
yeah,
and you want them to do better, but, you know, you gotta kind of push in the right direction with the right kid, because I could tell my youngest son, yeah, let's go shovel this driveway. And he's 10 driveways ahead of me. I could tell my oldest son, and by the time I'm finished minding the neighbors, he's just putting the shoes on, asking me, do I still need help? So
amazing.
You know, it's kind of relative. I say about 10 is a reasonable age, but you still got to know your kid.
Aaron,
you know,
I love that. That's a great answer, and very relatable. It literally sounded like Aaron was talking about my children. Like, I got one. Now, the latest is to be determined. We don't know. He's 3 weeks old. But I got one where if I asked him, like, hey, man, could you, I'm thinking the most basic thing in the world, like, put your socks on? He'd be like, you just invaded this country. There's a UN binding resolution against you, you know? Whereas, like, the other one, like, maybe grouse a little bit, but would do it. That is funny to think about. So maybe it depends. But I think I've got to start a policy of, you got to just come help dad. Even if you're not doing great. Just the idea, the process of doing it.
Yeah, because you got to improve. You got to understand the technique. You got to understand all the process. So, you know, you're not ending up with loads of ice and everything. Because at some point, old Danny Rouillet's got to sit his butt down and relax a little bit, right?
Get my feet up. Not yet, but one day when I can't physically do it anymore, which is only maybe, you know, 5-6 months away. 5 o'clock, Mark Zuckerman's going to join us. Pitchers and catchers reported today, people. Get on board and get your chance to win some Washington Wizards tickets. We'll do that at 5 p.m.